Going to read verses 15 to 20. Let us go over to Bethlehem and find the faith of Christmas. When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen as it had been told them. You may not remember the name of Tom Sutherland, but you likely know of his story. Tom Sutherland was born in Scotland. He was trained in animal science, and he became a very accomplished professor specializing in pig science at Colorado State University. Way back now in 1985, Shiite Muslims in the Middle East held Tom Sutherland captive for a long time, from 1985 until 1991. Much of his time was spent in solitary confinement. In his speech after his captivity, he asked an unforgettable question. He asked, "Do you know what it's like to be in prison? To be held hostage? To be a captive? It's very lonely and you worry that people will forget you. I felt abandoned. I didn't think anybody even knew I was in prison." During his imprisonment, Tom Sutherland could hear a radio that the guards had. It was tuned into the BBC channel. And every day, Tom Sutherland would listen intently to the newscast, hoping and praying that he might hear his name, hoping and praying that the newscaster would talk about him on the air and tell the story of his imprisonment and his innocence. But his name was never mentioned. So he assumed that nobody in the United States even knew that he was being held hostage. Finally, after 6.5 years of captivity, Tom Sutherland was released, and the U.S. government flew his wife Jean to the area so they could be reunited. They were so excited to see each other. A few days later, they flew home together to San Francisco. As they were getting off the plane back home in the United States, Tom Sutherland was amazed to see that there were lights and television cameras, reporters and people holding signs, and a huge crowd at the airport. Tom turned to his wife and said, "Jean, look at all these people. There must be a celebrity on the plane with us. Look around and see if you can spot who it is." And Jean said, "Honey, they're all here for you. It's you. It's all for you." When his wife told him that, Tom Sutherland started crying, and he couldn't stop. He sobbed like a little boy. He couldn't believe it. He said, "I thought everybody had forgotten about me. I didn't think anybody knew I was in captivity. I felt completely abandoned. I didn't think anybody cared. Thank God I was wrong." Now, the shepherds on that first Christmas must have felt something like that. Society had cast them out and pushed them down to one of the lowest rungs on the social ladder. They were considered unclean physically and spiritually. And they must have felt abandoned and forgotten. They must have felt like nobody really cared about them. But then they found out on that first Christmas night that, thank God, they were wrong. Somebody did care. The one who counts the most did care. He was there for them. Of all the people on the face of the earth, the angel of the Lord appeared to them. And as they made their way to Bethlehem to see the miracle of Christmas, they discovered in the process three great gifts that Christmas gives to us. Three great gifts that money cannot buy. Three great gifts available now to you and to me. Let's take a look at these three gifts together this morning. First of all, there is the gift of acceptance. The gift of acceptance. We start in verse 15. when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." Now, one thing is very well known about shepherds. Their profession was one that largely excluded them from participation in the sacred festivals of the Jewish faith. Their involvement with animals on a daily basis made it virtually impossible for most of them, most of the time, to meet the cleanliness requirements to participate fully. And thus they were held in disdain most of the time by most of the people. So it was to this group, on the fringe of society, so to speak, to whom the angel of the Lord appeared, and to them that God revealed his glory. Now remember, the Shekinah glory of God had been reserved to be experienced only in the tabernacle and only in the temple ever since the Lord had revealed himself to Moses. The only place you saw the glory of God was in the tabernacle and in the temple. And the glory of the Lord was so bright and so powerful that when Moses came out from the presence of the Lord, what did he have to do? He had to wear a veil because the people could not look upon the brightness that emanated from his face when he came out from being in the presence of God. And gradually, after a few days, he could take the veil off because the glory had dissipated. But here, out on the hillside in Bethlehem, God revealed his glory to shepherds. Within the society, the least likely group to be expected to find it. And then the angel speaks. Now, angelos, the Greek word, means messenger. And he tells them not to be afraid, and then reveals a message to them from God. "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." So basically, these disenfranchised people, to them, one, God sends an angel. Two, he reveals his glory. Three, he speaks a specific revelation of what he is doing. And then fourthly, he lets them see a glimpse of heaven with the heavenly host praising God. "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." Do you get a sense of the acceptance that these shepherds recognized in that moment? They tell you in their statement, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, but listen, that the Lord has made known to us." Will you notice that when the revelation of God came face to face with them, they didn't debate it, they responded to it. They knew the acceptance of God, and they immediately followed the directions which the Lord gave them. Friends, we see first of all that in the faith of Christmas, there is the gift of acceptance. But the angel also said, "For unto you is born this day a Savior." You see, God accepted upon himself the sin of the world. God has accepted upon himself the fallenness of mankind. God has accepted upon himself the lostness that came to us from Adam and could not be overcome by our efforts. And in sending his Son, he gave the gift of acceptance, not first to those who were purified and prepared, but to common everyday folk, fulfilling their duties on the night shift, away from public spotlight and out of the loop of acceptability. And that should say something to you this morning about the heart of the Father. He took an angel to speak, revealed his glory, told the truth about what was happening, and then gave a glimpse of heaven to these shepherds. To you and to me, he has sent his Spirit to bring us awareness of his unconditional love and pardon for us in Christ. And you are in this room this morning because God wants you to know that you are acceptable to him in Christ, no matter what you have done that is unacceptable in the flesh. First, we see the gift of acceptance. And second, there is the gift of forgiveness. In verse 17, we read, And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning the child. Now, what was that saying? You go back to verse 11. For unto you is born this day in the city of David, what's the next words? A Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Romans 1 tells us that the gospel is the message. And the message is Christ. And what the shepherds had discovered was that a Savior had been born. What is a Savior? Well, in our society, we use the term pretty disparagingly when someone wants a quick fix to a situation. What do you need, a Savior? They want someone to rescue them out of a difficult situation. And for most of the situations of life, there is no quick fix. Or there isn't someone who can wave a magic wand and make all the right moves and make everything better. But that term Savior means precisely that. And in the spiritual context, we need to be rescued from our sins, for they hold us in bondage to our lower nature. We are unable to get past them. And someone who has more power than we do must get us freed, for it's an impossibility for us to get freed ourselves. And that is what Jesus came to do, to save his people from their sins, to grant forgiveness for wrongdoing, and to make them acceptable. And what was the angelic chant? Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased. The nation had been waiting a Messiah, a deliverer, a Savior, and now he was here. He was to be the gift of forgiveness, which God was granting through the work of this one, the Savior. My friend, let me ask you this morning, have you received the forgiveness which is the gift of God to you through the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ? There is something transformational about that. I've seen it all through my ministry, that when someone, especially midlife and beyond, recognizes that they are forgiven, there is a load that comes off. There is a change of heart. And there's awareness that they are a new person in Christ. The gift of God is more than knowing that God sees you from his accepting heart. It's knowing that he forgives you through the work of his Son, the Savior of the world. And third and finally, there is the gift of Christ. But the faith of Christmas is locked into a real historical fact, not simply an experience that is unconfirmable and subjective. For what the shepherds discovered when they went to Bethlehem was in fact that Christ, God incarnate, human form. And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. God's greatest gift to humanity is found in the willing sending of his own Son into human form, born among us in order to save us. This gift, listen carefully, this gift is what differentiates our faith from all other faiths. For we have a Savior who is totally human, yet sinless. We don't have someone telling us what to do from afar, nor someone simply give us an example of what to do, although he himself was imperfect. What we have in the manger, what the shepherds found that night, was indeed God in the flesh, the gift of Christ. And so I ask you, friend, have you received the greatest gift of all time, the gift of Jesus Christ, God's Son, born into this world to be a sacrifice for your sins? Shortly before his betrayal and then his crucifixion and death, Jesus said these words found in John 12, 44 and following. Whoever believes in me, believes not in me, but in him who sent me. And whoever sees me, sees him who sent me. I have come into this world as light, so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. And here he reiterates the purpose for his coming. But my friend, he goes on, if anyone hears my words and does not keep them, I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. The one who rejects me does not receive my words has a judge. The word that I have spoken will judge him on the last day. If we go back to John 12 and 36, just before this, Jesus said, "While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of light." From our text this morning, it's clear that the shepherds understood that they had been given the gift of acceptance, the gift of forgiveness, and the gift of Christ. Are you as sure that you are accepted in the Beloved, that you are forgiven through His shed blood, and that you have received the gift of eternal life, which is found in Jesus Christ? It is so simple, yet it is so necessary to have such a beginning. It means no longer arguing that I have some redeeming features to myself, but agreeing with God about my state of fallenness and recognizing that God's gift of acceptance is that He is seeking you, or you wouldn't even be able to recognize this. The very fact that you know that this is true tells you that God is already seeking you. It means understanding that this God-man, Jesus Christ, willingly gave His perfect life on the cross as a payment for your sins. This means recognizing God's gift of forgiveness for your sins in Jesus Christ. It means then taking Christ as your Savior and your Lord, receiving this gift of Christ as your personal Savior. And that means that you will receive what He promised to all who received Him, who believed on His name. He gave the right to be children of God. This morning, don't put it off a moment longer. Make that decision and receive God's gift of salvation. Father, we pray that we might recognize that it's not just a helpless baby that's there, but the one who tells us that You accept us in the Beloved. The one who says You forgive us our sins through His work. And the one who represents You as the only one who could take our place and purchase for us a place in heaven. Today I pray that anyone who is sitting here who has never known that truly personally might receive Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord. I ask this in His name.